You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
By day, John Michaud is the head librarian at The New Yorker, working with the texts of others, but he's also an author in his own right. He's a regular contributor to the back issues and bookbench blogs at thenewyorker.com, and he's just published his first novel, When Tito Loved Clara. It's a story of what happens when two former lovers who grew up in Inwood unexpectedly cross paths years later, after each has established a life and a family. It's published by Algonquin Books, and I'm very pleased to welcome John Michaud to our show. Hi.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
As I said, the novel is set partly in Inwood, which you describe as a forgotten Manhattan. Have you lived there?
Yeah, I lived there for 5 years in the late 90s and early 2000s. I moved there because I was dating a Dominican-American woman, and she lived there. She'd grown up in Bushwick in Brooklyn and had later moved to Washington Heights and then to Inwood. And as our relationship became more serious, I moved in with her and lived with her, and ultimately we got married. And, you know, during the years that I spent in Inwood, I talked to people who lived there, I talked to members of her family, and I became interested in the history of the neighborhood.
Well, the neighborhood has changed an awful lot over the years, but it's often attracted immigrants who are in the process of assimilation.
Well, and
the Dominicans are a fairly recent
arrival,
aren't they?
And that was part of the discovery that I went through when I moved there. I learned that there had been previous generations of immigrant communities, that the Irish had been there longer, that there had been a Jewish community there, and there are still vestiges of those communities in the neighborhood. And so I was interested in the interplay between them and the Dominicans and the middle-class professionals who also lived there.
Many years ago, my brother lived in Inwood, and we used to, when we were in Midtown, we used to have a race who would get home first. I was in Brooklyn. I always beat him, even though he was staying in Manhattan.
Even though he took the A train, the express train? That's so funny. Yeah, it is far enough away to make it inconvenient for those people who spend a lot of time out in the evenings late at night and whatever.
But does it feel like it's not really Manhattan?
It does, and that's also part of what interested me. It was at once a microcosm of New York, like many small neighborhoods are, but also that it had a geographical presence that you don't get elsewhere in New York, except perhaps along the waterfront. You have Inwood Hill Park, which is the only old growth forest still left in Manhattan Island. And you have hills and cliffs and a very dramatic setting there against the Hudson River. And then you also have the Cloisters Museum and
Great Park.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also Columbia's athletic field?
Columbia's athletic fields. And then you have the rail yards down at the end. So it really is a hodgepodge and spans all of New York history. Apparently, it's reputed that that is where Peter Minuit made the deal for Manhattan Island in Inwood Hill Park.
Clara leaves Inwood while her high school sweetheart Tito stays there. But people like your characters, how significant is the decision to move somewhere else?
Well, that was one of the things that I wanted to explore in the book, was to look at people in immigrant communities who take different paths towards assimilating or not assimilating. Do they stay in their communities? Do they continue to speak their native languages? Or do they seek to make their way into the mainstream of American culture? And I don't think that there's a preferable path to take, and I just wanted to look at the two, actually more than two, multiple options available to people who emigrate to the country.
It doesn't matter whether they are immigrants or the children of immigrants.
Well, I think that—
Because communities can become rather close-knit, and you almost feel like you were born in another country, even though you were born in the United States.
Yeah, I think that on some level there's a stronger imperative for the children of immigrants, that it's a more complex experience for them because they have to choose between the bonds to their parents and the old culture and then the draw of the new. But I also think that you know, there's another kind of immigrant in New York, which is the millions of people who come to the city who weren't born here, and they also kind of have to make their way in the city. And that was my experience, and that partly informed the book too.
But you also had a childhood where you moved constantly, didn't you? Because your father was a diplomat.
My father was in the Foreign Service, and we traveled regularly when I was a child.
So you were always a new arrival.
I was always a new arrival, and from that experience, I became interested in this clash of cultures and of being someone who was not a part of the native culture in which I was living.
Although I assume there's a very different sense of displacement when you're the child of a diplomat as opposed to when you're very poor.
Right. It's a completely different experience, but some of the tensions, and it makes you sensitive to not being part of the indigenous culture or the native culture of a place. And it also, I think, makes you sensitive to the tensions within a place. One of the places where I lived was in Northern Ireland, and we were not of the conflict there, but my father was meeting regularly with significant people involved in the Troubles, and we had a vantage point that saw both sides of it. And so I became interested in those kinds of tensions.
You have Clara move away,
yes.
Not Tito.
And not Tito. Yeah, Clara, and they both take different approaches to their lives. And Clara's brought involuntarily to New York as a child. And she's raised in very difficult circumstances and unhappy home life. And she decides that her response to this is going to be to become as fluent an English speaker as she can, and to become a professional with a white-collar job. And ultimately, she becomes a librarian, which for her is the culmination of this transformation from poor, illiterate immigrant to knowledge manager.
And she moves to Bergen County, New Jersey, you say, where Dominicans from the Heights moved when their ships came in.
Right. There's a strong presence of Dominicans in the suburbs of New Jersey, many of them right off the George Washington Bridge, who emigrated from Washington Heights and Inwood.
And I'm assuming that making it is somehow connected to the desire to assimilate, or the desire to assimilate is connected to the feeling that you have to make it.
Well, I think that there are a range of options available, and that each person must make those decisions for themselves, and that Clara has one way of what she sees as making it, and that's having the house in the suburbs, having the professional job. But not every immigrant would agree with that as being making it.
And she also marries somebody outside the community.
That's right. She marries a middle-class white American.
Is that a way of getting away from her Dominican roots?
That is part of it. For her, I think in part in reaction to her very difficult childhood, she wants kind of tranquil suburban existence, and she does what she can to put as much distance as possible between herself and her uproarious family.
Is Tito also struggling with issues of cultural identity?
Less so. Tito is more of a lost soul. I mean, he's raised in a loving family, and much more supportive family than Clara is. But he founders after their relationship fails. He's unable to progress, and he becomes stuck. And for him,
she goes to college and then to graduate school.
That's right. And he stays in the neighborhood. He continues to live with his parents well into his 30s. And he works the same job he's worked since high school. But I think for him it's less a question of his assimilation and more a question of his response to unrequited love or an unfulfilled love in his life.
My guess is John Michaud. His novel, When Tito Loved Clara, is published by Algonquin Books of Chapel Hill. Your epigraph is from Thomas Lynch about grief being proportional to love. Is this an idea that you set out to explore, or is it something that became apparent as the book was evolving?
I came across that epigraph about three-quarters of the way through the book, and I just felt that it expressed concisely Clara's side of the story, that that for her, grieving and and loving were almost identical.
A review of Ben Greenman called your book a joint meditation on contemporary manhood and even more powerfully contemporary womanhood. So you write from both perspectives, but it's an intimate third person. Why not first person?
Well, I felt that I didn't feel comfortable writing first person point of view from two Dominican characters. I'm not a native Spanish speaker. I don't speak Spanish well. And so I felt more comfortable just pulling back a little bit. And because the narration moves among points of view, I felt it did give a consistency to the book to have a consistent third-person narration rather than variable first-person narrations.
As I mentioned earlier, you're a librarian at The New Yorker. What does that involve?
Well, the library that I work in is actually the magazine's archive. There are three libraries at The New Yorker. There's a reference library, which is maintained by our fact-checking department. There's a photography library used by our photo researchers. And there's the archive where my colleague Aaron Overby and I work together. And it's what in the old days used to be called the morgue. It's the repository for the editorial history of the magazine.
And are you called upon to find old articles often?
We have two main tasks. One is that each week, as the magazine is being prepared for publication, we index and abstract the articles, and those index terms and abstracts are used in an in-house database, which also feeds our website and other products like the iPad. And then we also serve as curators for the archive. We help writers and editors who want to find out information about things we've run in the past. We also answer, you know, queries from researchers, and we do things like draw up long lists for the anthologies that the magazine produces.
And you draw upon it for your blogs, the back issue blog and the bookbench blog.
Well, that's right. The back issues blog was started specifically to relate current events to articles and pieces in the magazine's past.
Now, before you became a librarian, went to school for it, you had you talk about having had a string of jobs, not all of them the most distinguished. Now. You're the librarian, but you're also you've been publishing short stories in various publications. Are you drawing upon your that complicated past for these stories?
To some extent, you know, I like a lot of aspiring writers, I tried to devote myself to my writing by avoiding a career path and just taking whatever job came along. And so I worked as a bicycle messenger and a bakery assistant and a bookseller. And then at a certain point, you realize that you actually do need to pick a career, especially if you see that your books aren't being bought, the books you're writing aren't being bought. So, yeah, but that colorful work history has definitely informed some of my fiction.
Well, except for the few writers who can live off of the royalties from their works, you either teach or you work as a head librarian at The New Yorker.
Or you tend bar or lay brick, yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm assuming there's another novel in the works.
There is another novel, and that will draw on my experiences in Northern Ireland.
John Michaud's first novel is called When Tito Loved Clara. It's published by Algonquin Books of Chapel Hill. Thank you so much for being with us.
Been a pleasure. Thank you.